I mean, I can look back at things in high school. I can look back at people that God brought into my life and see how the Lord was preparing me. It's such a humbling thing, really. When you look back, you can see the sovereignty of God. Yeah. That you weren't pursuing that. God brought that person in your life. You weren't really chasing after his direction, and yet he literally shut doors. I mean, I had situations where literally doors were shut that I wanted to go through. The Lord said, nope, and then here I'm going to bring you into this, bring this person in your life. And so when you start to look back at the arc of your life story, it's unexplainable other than God's intervention that he has brought you to where you are.
Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus's strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Well, hello again. Welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host today, Ben Borgman, the Executive Director of Disciple First. And again, hopefully you know this by now and you've been listening for a while, but if you're not, we're a ministry that is all about empowering you as a leader to make and multiply disciples like Jesus. And we are super excited to bring you a conversation today with a great disciple-making leader. But before I get to that, I just want to introduce another guy in the room, our faithful co-host who gives so much of his time and expertise and just his overwhelming wisdom
keep
to
going.
Our podcast.
Keep going, Ben. You're on the right track.
Pastor Craig Etheridge. We got him over to our left.
Hello, Ben. Great to see you, man. Always fun to be in the studio with you.
Yeah, it is. It's a blessing.
Absolutely. Sure. And we got a lot going on. I know you probably hadn't planned to talk about this, but you and I are going to be in Puerto Rico here pretty soon, and we're going to be discipling some pastors and leaders down there. And you just got back from Nepal.
I know. It's been a busy first half of the year.
It really has. Sure. But man, God has been really using you and opening up so many doors for us. We've had some trainings already in Zambia this year and Montreal this year. So shout outs to all those folks if they're listening from wherever around the world. Man, what a blessing it is to talk about disciple making leadership. So anyway, I'm excited to do this with you, this trip coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. We leave in less than a week.
I better figure out what I'm going to say.
So yeah, it's going to be a great time. And I'm excited to see how God's continued to open international doors for Disciple First, where we really kind of started domestically. And it's really kind of bled back over where we, which was weird, is how we originally started was internationally.
That's right.
Kind of gravitated more back towards domestic churches, which we still love serving churches here in the United States, but now God's continuing to open doors outside the United States. So
that's
awesome.
Right. And you know, also just a little word here, we're going to be hosting an event called The Collective in November of this year, where we're inviting people to join us here at Cross Creek to learn more about how do you make disciples in the context of local church, to meet some of our residents, to interface with church planters. And so, of course, if anybody's interested in that, please reach out to us. We would love to send you an invite to that event. But that's going to be a really exciting time to just kind of get the tribe together and to all focus on Jesus. It's all about Jesus. What did Jesus do? How did Jesus create movements of multiplication? And how do we follow him? So it's not really about promoting our thing as much as just always promoting Jesus and trying our best to pursue him and do what he's told us to do.
And just really a celebration of how a local church is collaborating with these other organizations that have been launched from that disciple-making movement out of Cross Creek, through a residency, through Disciple First, and through the network, the church planting network. And so it's just going to be a great celebration. And that kind of, you know, the conversation we're going to have today with Ms. Shannon Deloach, who's on. How are you, Shannon?
Good. How are y'all today?
Great.
Good to have you here, Shannon.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
She plays a vital role with the Cross Creek Network.
That's
right. She plays a vital role there, and we'll kind of get into that in our conversation. But we're so happy to have you on. today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I've known you for a while. We've been in Connect Group together. I mean, so we don't want to start counting the years, so
but, that'd be dangerous.
You know, a long time ago, we were in the same Connect Group together. You've been a long time supporter. You and your husband Elliot been a long time supporter of Disciple First, and then just watching you guys serve has always been a blessing. Give and serve in different capacities, and that's really why we wanted to have you on. Is just that we want to continue to highlight that disciple making leaders are not just pastors. They're not just people that are called to vocational ministry. Our hope and what we really challenge other churches, it's you need disciple-making leaders all through your organization, at every level of your organization. Mm-hmm. And so we just want to highlight you and celebrate what God's doing in you and just let you share, because we know that it's going to be encouragement to other people out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Shannon, you have a very unique perspective from where you're serving and what you're engaged with. From church planting to disciple making, as a mom and a wife, and just you have a wonderful perspective. So we're excited about this conversation to just dig into your story and what are some things that God's been showing you about being a disciple making leader in the season of life that you're in and the place that you're in. So thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's start off. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, Shannon. Tell us about your family, maybe your a little bit of a spiritual journey, kind of how you've got here, what's your kind of been your experience with God and just really how he's gotten you to right here.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so grateful because I grew up in a Christian home. Like, God put me in a Christian home. I mean, that just alone is huge. I have a legacy of faith in my family. And I grew up in Waco, and my parents were obviously a Christian family, and so I've only always known Christ in my life. I accepted him when I was about 10 years old. I was 10. And typical child that, you know, I learned all the verses and all the things, and met my husband in college. I went to Baylor, Sick and Bears, and that was such a blessing. Then when we got married, we ended up moving to New Hampshire, and we found a church, finally. And when we were there, the first visit we had to that church, we were introduced to a group of young adults who were married, no kids. They were literally that night having a Bible study at one of the small apartment homes that all of us had at the time. And that was literally, I feel like, when I started growing in Christ, because we did Bible study together as couples because we didn't have anything else to do at the time.
No kids, had all the time in the world, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And then they became family to me because I didn't have family up there. And I'm still very close to all of those friends, and we moved away over 20 years ago. But I feel like during that time, I learned much more accountability. It was more my faith. Not, again, that I didn't know Christ before, but just building that deeper relationship. And that has continued over time. And then I feel like also when we moved back to Texas, we again found another group that was married with no kids because we still didn't have our daughter yet. And we did a Bible study every other Tuesday night. And we continued that until just a few years ago when our lives just kind of, you know, just didn't intersect in the same way.
Yeah.
You know, again, part of the life stages. But those friends, and I can even remember in some of those Bible studies and at each other's houses, because we were at each other's homes, it was very personal relationships, very close friends. I can specifically remember times when God spoke to me in those Bible studies. And I remember even one time, it was at my home, and I told them, I was like, this is what's on my heart. And so next time we meet 2 weeks from now, ask me if I've done anything with this. So, and I did, because I had that accountability. So anyway, I have two children, Cody and Courtney, and my daughter's graduated from college and has a strong faith in God. Thank you, Lord. And is married. And then my son is 15 and and is doing great and also knows Christ. So it's such a blessing to have a ministry at home of raising my children and having a family that knows Christ.
Yeah. And so what's kind of your professional background? What's that journey look like for you?
Yeah, I have always worked in money. I tell people I love money, and hopefully not in a bad way.
Yeah.
And it literally started with counting pennies with my dad when we were kids. So it started with that relationship building when I was young. And I've always worked in the investment world, and so I work part-time now, which is so nice because it balances my home life and my work life. But I help people with their investment accounts. So,
yeah. So besides money, in a good way,
yeah.
Besides money, what do you feel like brings you the most joy? Just like, what do you love to do?
Oh, yeah. Well, I love spending time with people. I mean, I really do. And I feel like that my friends and my family are an extension of who I am. And so I take that very seriously. So I feel like that is absolutely something I love to do, is spending time with people and traveling and, mm-hmm. Reading, exercise. Actually, we may get to this later, but in my season of life right now, actually, I run in the morning, and that is my prayer time, my first set of prayers with God besides when I first wake up and just thank Him for the next that day. But that's my time when I'm really praying for this church and for everything that I pray for over time. So, and of course throughout the day too, but that just gets me going for the day.
So do you feel like, how have you seen maybe your God preparing you through, whether it is your vocation, whether it is your family or those communities, for maybe how He's provided ministry for you, like almost preparing you for what He has for you now? Have you seen any tie-ins in that? I know I can see tie-ins in mine. Like, for the longest time, it was hard to reconcile. Why was I in school for wildlife biology? Why am I a scientist now? And why did I sell toilets for years? Like, how does that tie into ministry? And ultimately along the way, I can see tie-ins and start to see, the longer I minister and serve, I can see, oh, He was preparing me for this or that. In what ways do you feel like God was preparing you maybe early on for what He has for you now?
Absolutely. Well, I feel like I really didn't hear or know that I was hearing God's voice until I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. It was a study that we had done on hearing the voice of God. And that was the point where I started realizing and being more confident in what God was telling me. So whether it was through the Word or whether it was through my prayer life and God just, just sensing something. And before, I wouldn't have necessarily known that was God speaking to me, or wise counsel, and putting all of that together to discern and decide, determine whether that really is Christ speaking to me, and then being confident in what I have then learned from God and taking action. And so that was the first thing I think it took for me to really be able to feel like I could do ministry. And I have felt like ministry to me isn't just in the walls of this church, but outside as well. I was part of a nonprofit that our church actually supported as well, for that that God literally just said, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And so I did, and thankfully it was an amazing experience and a great ministry for others. But now He has, I grew up in a home where my father was a pastor of a church. So I know what my mother has had to go through as far as, just didn't necessarily have the support that she needed outside of church with friends and things like that, because the church was her all of her life. And so I felt like the ministry that I'm doing now with Cross Creek Network is to support the families and the wives. Our church was also small, so a lot of the Cross Creek churches right now are small, Cross Creek Network churches. And I just felt like I could really relate to them because that's what my mom was going through. And so, again, I feel like God has created a path for me that definitely fits for me personally. Yeah. And I'm able to relate to those ladies.
Yeah. That's awesome. And he's using you in a great way. I've heard, we were talking to Clay yesterday about it. Make sure you ask Shannon, get her to talk about it, because she's doing such a great job. So, we know that's like, that's your sweet spot. That's a great thing for you. And I want to talk more about that too. Craig, how do you see God kind of prepare you? And again, sometimes it's hard to tell, right? Because you really don't know it until sometimes looking back. But in what ways do you feel like God's prepared you for ministry?
By the way, I always love it when you say you sold toilets. You know, you did a lot more than that. It was a huge plumbing business that you ran. But anyway, but that's a humble way of saying it. But I just chuckle every time you say that. Absolutely. I mean, I can look back at things in high school. I can look back at people that God brought into my life and see how the Lord was preparing me. It's such a humbling thing, really. When you look back, you can see the sovereignty of God, that you weren't pursuing that. God brought that person in your life. You weren't really chasing after his direction, and yet he literally shut doors. I mean, I had situations where literally doors were shut that I wanted to go through. The Lord said, nope, and then here I'm going to bring you into this, bring this person in your life. And so when you start to look back at the arc of your life story, it's unexplainable other than God's intervention that he has brought you to where you are. Oh, yeah. And so I do a lot of reflecting back on that, and it just fills my life with just a lot of gratitude, you know, just a lot of thankfulness. Shannon, I wanted to go back to something you said, because I'm just curious. You talked about moving to New Hampshire and this group that you were involved in, and that was very catalytic for you. And I know that that probably is those initial embers of the fire that you have now for disciple making goes all the way back to there. And so what was it? You mentioned accountability, but I'm just curious, you know, what else was there that you thought, man, this is so different and so effective and so powerful in your life as a young married couple, you know, way away from Waco, Texas, for sure. What was it about that group that made such a big difference?
Absolutely. I feel like we were like-minded. Mm-hmm. And that was huge, surrounded by, you know, if you look at the map that shows the unreached, New Hampshire is on that list of very, very low amount of people who would claim to be Christians.
Right.
I think that's correct. Mm-hmm. But and so it was honestly very hard for us to find a church. The church that was very cute across the street from us was not right for us. And it even had the same denomination that I'm in, and it just was not right. And so once we found that church that had people that were like-minded, and specifically our group, it was a huge comfort, because going into work, not that people were, you know, difficult with me or anything like that, but they just, not all of them had the same faith as me. And so it was that encouragement and that strength and help that they gave me, that I'm also my faith with Christ and showing my faith to others was, for one, crucial, but also that I wasn't doing it by myself.
Yeah. You know, I have a daughter that lives in New York City, and it's the same kind of thing. As you know, you've been up there many times, but the worship is different because, man, this is your family. These are the people that you share Christ with, that you have your biblical community with, that you feel kind of like you're starved throughout the week at times, or alone, maybe is a better way to say that. And so there's something unique when you're in those environments. And so many of our church plants are in those exact kind of environments. So I think that, again, is another experience you bring to the table of really understanding kind of where they're at and the challenges they're facing. So it's cool to see how God, even back then, was preparing you for the work that you're doing today.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm so grateful.
And when you say that, I think about it even, you know, that's a very extreme example, like Bible Belt versus unreached area, you know, very culturally, you know, secular culture. But I think even I can relate to that even from being in business. So many times in the business world, you're only thinking about business. You're in even there's some other stuff that goes on, you know, especially in certain sales type businesses where, you know, going to places you shouldn't go and things like that, that you have to push against. But I can relate to that as a young business person, going that, bumping up against that, and then finally finding community group, finding somebody, you know, a discipling group, all those things starting to combine. And it helped me that same, the same kind of encouragement, the same kind of connectivity. Hey, this is helping me move forward in my walk versus constantly fight against the culture around me that I'm, because again, every day in work, you're surrounded by people, you know, most of the people are not, if you're in business world, they're not believers,
right?
Unfortunately. So yeah. Even in the Bible Belt. So
you're exactly right.
So yeah, that's, it's power, like the biblical community, investment, accountability, those are all, I mean, critical things for us, but that's a great illustration. So I want to it's been a great conversation to this point, and it's great to hear how God's preparing you and using you, and we've kind of hit up against it, but I want to press into what God's using, how God's using you now with the Cross Creek Network. But before we do that, I want to take a quick break.
Imagine what it would look like to be part of a movement. Imagine raising up church leaders. Imagine launching disciple-making churches all over the world. Imagine you being a part of growing God's kingdom far beyond your own city. Well, you don't have to imagine, it's happening, and you can get involved. The Cross Creek Network is a church planting network committed to planting disciple-making churches in cities like Las Vegas, New York, Montreal, Lusaka, and entire regions like Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. If your heart's desire is to plant churches that make disciples and multiply, then join us. Together, we can make a difference that lasts for eternity. To find out more, go to crosscreeknetwork.com. That's crosscreeknetwork.com.
All right. Well, welcome back to this conversation with Shannon DeLoach, just a wonderful disciple-making leader. And we've been talking about how God's prepared her, how God has equipped her to really for ministry all throughout her life and just provided opportunities and just working through that. But really, we want to press the rest of our time. We want to look at kind of how, what's happening now? Like where do you see the, you know, God using you for the greatest impact now? What God's saying to you right now and how he's encouraging you through that. But you talked about this thing like, hey, you were a pastor's kid. You saw the toil and the kind of the weight that was on, especially your mother. You spoke about that. And so God's provided this unique opportunity through the Cross Creek Network, which, again, if you've listened before, we've highlighted the Cross Creek Network. You can go back and listen to an episode with Clay Holcomb, the executive director of the Cross Creek Network. But it's a church planting network that was birthed out of Cross Creek, just like Disciple First, that's all about planting disciple-making church plants. That church plants with a disciple-making DNA, locally, globally. And so he leads that initiative. The greatest thing about it, it's incorporated with the life of the church. You're a church member, you're an active church member, church leader, Shannon, and he's just kind of put out there, hey, are there, you know, people on missions team or different? He's kind of pulled together people from the local church, from this church, that to help him minister to the church plants. And so again, God uniquely wired you with a heart for pastors' wives, pastors and pastors' wives, and now here's this opportunity. So tell us what you're doing, like, you know, kind of what is the opportunity that the Cross Creek Network is providing you, and how are you serving them? What does that look like? Just kind of talk us through that.
Absolutely. Well, it really started when I live in New York City. So I went on one of the mission trips a few years back and had never really been to Harlem and absolutely loved it because it's amazing how I had never been to New York and had the experience of looking at people walking down the street and actually starting to talk to them and not just looking straight forward. And I think God was just using me right then to know that this is a world that is very reachable. And that we had our church plant there, and I got to know the pastors and their wives, and I just had a heart for them. And so we kept that relationship, and I've been back multiple times, whether it was with the church or just on my own. And so it just kind of birthed that way. And because that was actually one of our first church plants in the U.S. And I think I felt like I had a little bit more accessibility also to reach out to them and to build that relationship.
And that's great. And so, or Craig, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Shannon's been up to New York multiple times now and knows my daughter that's up there. And also she participates at Cultivate, our church plant. And you just have such a unique way of loving on people, just encouraging. I think you have a gift of encouragement, you know, and I think it certainly comes out of your heart in encouraging. In fact, one of our church planters there just had a baby.
Yes.
So that just a couple of weeks ago or so. So it's been really exciting to see you do that. And so when you're interfacing with these pastors and their wives, particularly, I know you do that more than just in that one church. You do that in other places. What are some of the things? How do you do that? You know, what is that conversation like? What are some practical things you do to try to encourage them? And what kind of feedback do you get? Like what kind of challenges do you feel like they're facing?
Okay, absolutely. I had to really get creative because, you know, besides the New York wives at Cultivate, I didn't know any of the other wives. And so I had to, like, reach out to them. Mm-hmm. And the next step for me was actually we have the Cross Creek Network has some church plants in Vegas. And my husband had a work trip there, so I decided to meet them for lunch, and they said yes. So, and that was literally just texting them saying who I am and wanted to see if you'd like to meet. So that really was such a wonderful conversation at that lunch. And I think they really appreciated that I took the time to do that. And so that really started that relationship as well. We then have done Bible studies, the different Cross Creek Network pastors' wives, we've done Bible studies through Zoom so that we could spend time together as well as be in the Word. And we had to do it at, you know, random different times, of course, that fit and skip a week here and there, and which doesn't matter. It's fine. Or just one of them comes and not the others. But we really got to build relationships that way as well. And then I'll send them a card here and there, and I text them, not like every Monday or anything. It's random. And so I feel like I'm part of their lives, and I hope they feel like that too. I do feel like they do think of me, and they text me as well when I don't text them. And so that I do feel like we are building relationships that aren't just one way as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think are some of the challenges? Like, you know, obviously we're not asking you to divulge any confidence, but just in general, are they the same basic challenges across the board? Or are they just unique? Or what's your insight in there?
You know, they really are so similar. You know, busyness of life and challenges with people in the church. That's just part of you know, just working with people. Even, you know, challenges with their kids' schools and, you know, you name it, just the normal things as well. But I feel like they have so much more weight on their shoulders because with small churches, you're having to do so many more jobs. Mm-hmm. And so so they have that as well. And some of them are just starting, so they have the weight of really getting it going and finding people that are good volunteers and you name it, so that are actually the right people to do the job.
And many of these are young leaders, so they haven't done this like for 20 years, so they're kind of figuring it out as they go. You know, I remember talking with one church planter, and he told me a situation. He said, "Is that normal?" I said, no, that's not normal. Because he doesn't know. Maybe this is the normal thing. I'm like, no, that's not normal. That's not good. You know, and so it's kind of like that. You know, I'm sure sometimes like, is this okay? Is this how it should be? Well, no, maybe not.
Right.
So just you being able to just, you know, you don't have your objective, you know, you just care for them, and you can be a safe place for them to ask questions or just to pray for them, encourage them. That's so, so valuable. Thank you for doing that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because I had to really work through the relationship as well, and still am, related to, of course, they're talking to me in confidence. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like I'm relaying back to, Clay, you know, anything that is said, we're building friendships.
Yeah. Right.
So. Yeah. You're just being a friend. You're present. I think that's half of it. It's just really, hey, I'm here for you, right? Just like any other friend. And then as life happens and challenges come, you're able to then, they're probably reaching out to you because they know you're a safe place. They know that you truly care. And then now you can exercise that gift of, hey, let me help you in this way, or let me meet you in that. And I know you've done like gift baskets for wives and all those just great ways to kind of build those bridges and build that relationship. And just, and I love what you're doing. It's just, you're doing such a great job.
And, you know, Ben, I would just want to pull out here and just talk directly to our listeners that, you know, this is not, you know, Shannon doesn't have to have like a degree in this, you know, you know what I'm saying? Just being willing to give her time, mm-hmm. be willing to make a phone call for the first time and to reach out and to be willing to, hey, let me do a Bible study with you. How can I encourage you? Here's a text. Look what I saw at Target the other day. You know, just those kinds of things, as simple as they are very, very profound. Mm-hmm. And I think that many times people may feel like, well, I'm not really good at that, or I don't know enough of that or the other. And a lot of the ministry God wants from us is just being available yeah. to love on people and encourage people. And Shannon, you do that so well. And it's just great encouragement for all of us, yeah. right? To, man, there's opportunities like that to just be open to love on people, to reach out to somebody, to start a conversation, to start a friendship that the Lord could use in a powerful way if we yeah. just do it.
For sure. So Shannon, like as you're doing that, as you're just, again, you're just loving on people. You're because mm-hmm. you love them, you know where they're kind of coming from their specific, you know, background as a pastor's wife. I've found in my life a lot of times as I'm ministering really purely just out of love and concern, man, God speaks very clearly. I found that some of the clearest words I've gotten from God, yes, there's clear direction in my life, my calling to ministry, things like that are very clear. But a lot of times what I hear the clearest is something for someone that I'm ministering to in the moment, like God speaking to me for someone else, to be an encouragement into someone else. So as you're serving and as you're just in the middle of life, how do you see right now God really speaking to you? How is he encouraging you? How is he directing you? Like really, what's he saying right now to you?
Great. Yes. And I agree with you, Ben. It's amazing how God will put something on my heart based on my Bible study I'd done that day, whatever I'd read in the Word. And I will then take a screenshot and send it to whoever it is, whether it's related to the Cross Creek Network or just girlfriends or, you know, whatever it may be. And I know that I'm being ministered to, but I feel like it's a ministry to those people as well. And so there's that, and just being willing to do that, you know, just to take that extra second yeah. to, and then knowing who God is putting on your heart as well. Mm-hmm. And so being open to that. But I feel like he's speaking to me from that perspective, as well as, I mean, I don't feel like when you call me a leader, I don't feel like I'm a leader. I'm just walking along with the other people that I'm walking with. And so it's more trying to encourage all those around me, whether it's my neighbors, my family, my friends, my coworkers. And so I really feel like that's how God is leading me right now. And he's been speaking to me. One of the things that in my Bible study that really helps, again, to give me confidence in knowing what he's wanting me to do is I just recently sunk in that Jesus, his Holy Spirit that he has in him is the same as what is in me. I mean, how overwhelming and how amazing is that to have that gift, you know? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and the confidence, I mean, wow.
Yes.
You know, yeah. The fact that Jesus depended on the Spirit, we need to depend on the Spirit even more, but it's the same Spirit. There's no other Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit.
There's no junior, Jesus. No junior Holy Spirit, right? Wow.
And so what a great encouragement. Yeah. Craig, I want to go back to, I mean, the essence of what you're saying, Shannon, was you're a disciple-making leader. Like we said, we're bringing you on because you're an example of a disciple-making leader that's just leading, but leading out of the overflow is part of that, how we would define
right.
and how you've kind of sat down and said, hey, this is what a disciple making is. The main point is you're leading out of the overflow of your own walk with God.
Yeah, that's right. Disciple making leader is someone who who cultivates a heart for God, loves the Lord, and invests in others intentionally out of the overflow with the purpose of multiplying, multiplying their life. And so we certainly see you doing that. You know, you're walking with the Lord, Shannon, you're out of the overflow, you're intentionally investing in others, you're intentionally, whether it's discipling someone or leading these women, through a Bible study, that these pastors' wives, or just contact them relationally. That's all intentional investment with the idea that they will then multiply that investment in others. And so that's by definition, that's disciple making leader. It doesn't mean you have to lead a big corporation or a huge ministry. It just means that you're faithful, leading out of the overflow, investing intentionally in others to multiply right where you are, day in and day out. And the thing is, those are choices we have to make every day, right? And if you will continue to make those choices, I'm just kind of speaking for all of us, then 10 years from now, who knows how God can use that? You know, I think we sell ourselves short a lot of times. Yeah. Well, I'm just doing that. It's not a big deal. When actually these intentional investments build up over time, just like financial investments, you love money, just a few pennies here and there, they multiply. And I think that's one of the reasons why heaven's going to be heaven is we're going to see the dividends of our small investments making an eternal impact. And you're certainly doing that. And as long as we have opportunity, we can all do that.
Yeah. And I think your humility and others that share that humility is probably the most powerful part of being a disciple making leader, because it's not you. You know it's God. And that's actually our pride gets in the way. It's those that think we're these greatest leaders probably are selling short, because again, we're not inviting God to make much of him and to just let him work through us. And so I think that's probably one of the greatest things about you is you don't think you're a leader. because you're allowing God to be glorified, you're allowing him to be made much of. And again, that's where the impact that we want comes from.
Hey, Ben, I got a question here for Shannon.
Yeah.
Shannon, you've been you've discipled women multiple times, in through our church. We use the Grow series, and you've done that faithfully for years. You're also intentionally investing in these pastors' wives, literally across the country, around the world. What are the unique challenges that you face as a woman in discipling other women? Are there unique challenges? Are there something a unique way that happens that may be different than when guys get together?
It probably is a little more unique than with guys. But at the same time, I think it's so similar. It's just a matter of building the relationship. There's actually a lady that my son is in sports, and I met her. I had already met her, but we had a conversation at a game when I had a sweatshirt on that was a Jesus shirt. had a little verse on it or something on it. And she looked at it and she said, "I really like that." And she said, "I have really wanted to get more involved in studying the Word. I've started going to church now." And so I just felt like that was just a little nugget to explore further. And so we didn't have much time then. And so I texted her a few days later, maybe a week later or so, because also I don't want to be creepy. And asked if she'd like to get together for lunch, not to talk about God and relationships, but just to get to know her. And we did end up having a conversation about God, but during that lunch. But it was more that I knew, and I even still do, need to build the relationship first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's probably the case with men as well. You need to be people that you trust and agree with, even your philosophies at least to some degree, before you're going to be able to disciple and be creative. I feel like today I have a Bible study group that is one of my girlfriends that actually Ben knows, and we do a Bible study on Friday mornings at 8:30. We didn't today, but we do it 8:30 on Friday mornings, which sounds like a random time, and it's her, some of her friends in her neighborhood. Mm. And I'm the only one that doesn't live in her neighborhood, so I get all the scoop of anyway. But it, that's being creative, and I feel like, you know, men can do the same thing. It's just and we definitely have the pool of our children and things like that. But if people will choose to make Christ priority, then they can figure out a time that works and find the people that work.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Do you find that most women that you're interfacing with, you're encouraging or investing in, that they're really needing that relational connection, that maybe feeling lonely or isolated or.
Absolutely. Whatever? Absolutely. Cause that the lady that I was mentioning earlier, she said that they had moved here just a couple of years ago, and she really doesn't have really strong friendships at this point, you know, and she's one that really does want those deep relationships too. So absolutely, I do feel like that. And even people who are busy and look like they have, you know, it all together and they've got all these people in their life, when you get down to it, it's, you know, their faith in God and their strong, deep friendships of people that are that they call or they text for prayer or, you know, go to when and cry with, those are not easy to find. And so, and it takes time. It takes really a lot of investment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So Shannon, as we kind of wind this episode down, I want you to share one more thing with our listeners. If there's ladies out there that are listening to this that maybe, hey, I don't know, I really want to be about God's kingdom impact. I really want to make a difference. I really want to do that. But I just, maybe there's hesitation. Maybe there's insecurity, doubt. What would you say to them?
Absolutely. Listen to what God is telling you and be in the Word daily. Be talking to Him, be listening to what He has to say, which honestly, when I'm in my prayer, I could definitely listen more than I do. And really check your heart to make sure that you're doing the things that God really is leading you to do. And I do love the prayer that Lord, just keep the door open if it's supposed to be open and just shut it if it's supposed to be closed, and really be conscious of that. Be intentional with those that you have surrounding you, and build them up, whether it's your neighbors or, you know, whoever is in your life at a game. And then be creative with the way that you spend time with others. I am doing a grow series that I was asked actually to co-lead with another lady who is working with me with the Cross Creek Network. And we're going to be leading in the fall a Zoom grow series with some of the church plant wives. So really just making sure to be creative and just to not just shut the door when God has it open.
Yeah.
That's...
You know, I was talking with one of our church planters about a week ago, and we were talking about church planting in general, like how do you know when to plant and where to plant and all that kind of thing. And he said, I used to, you know, have a very, you know, I want to be here. I want to go there. I want to do this. And he said, I've learned that really what I'm now doing is just saying, Lord, where are you at work? Where are you at work? And then when I see, oh, you're working over here, then I just kind of join him. That's the old Henry Blackaby, see where God is at work and join him. And, you know, that comes all the way down to how we live our life. You know, that's just what you were saying.
Right.
Just where do you see the Lord working? And then how can you be a part of that?
Yeah.
And that's part of that looking that you were talking about. And you've certainly done that, you know, where you've seen God working through the network. And you said, hey, how can I be a part of that? And you're making a great contribution. And so I think just for all of us, it's a great reminder. Yeah. Where is God working in your life? Where do you see His hand at work? Where do you see Him moving? And then leaning into that, as opposed to saying, well, I can't do that, or making an excuse, or just kind of selling yourself short.
For sure. Shannon, thank you so much for the conversation. Again, I appreciate, I hope everybody listening to appreciates, you know, what I got from it was your willingness to serve, your willingness just to love and be a friend first. Like, that's where it begins. It's not a job. It's not a project. It's you want to just genuinely help and love people. You're looking for God. Like Craig said, where are you working? But you're also available to move into that space when he shows you. So, again, thank you for all the work and extra hours and love and attention you give to pastors' wives and planters' wives and ladies here in the community and in this church. It's just that investment. Going back to money, you love money. That investment will not be at the end of the world. It will not stop. It will continue on into eternity. So thank you for that investment. And I appreciate it. Craig, thanks for being on the call again today.
You bet,
on man. The episode. And as you're listening, if you want to connect and, you know, or want to just have a question about it, you can always reach out to us at disciplefirst.com. But we'll also have in the show notes, we'll have ways you can, if you maybe want to get involved with the Cross Creek Network, we'll have ways that you can connect with them also in the show notes. And again, we just appreciate you listening because we know that, you know, if you're listening, you probably have a heart to become a disciple-making leader, and that's our hope for you. So thanks for listening today.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.